It is kind of strange to have been up here for the entire opening exercises to lead the music and come up. Well, I don't know about you, but I do know you also are looking forward greatly to Butch returning next week to lead the music, and also George Peterson will be back next week too to greet everybody at the door. I'm sure if a lot of people couldn't find their way in this morning. We had a couple of gentlemen out there trying to help you, but you know, without George, I don't know how we all find our seats. But he'll be here next week, and so will Butch, as they both are out traveling this week. Please keep them in your prayers. Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6 as we continue in our study of the book of Proverbs. And you can just look up on the screen if that's easier for you. Be looking at the first 19 verses of chapter 6, Proverbs. My son, if you've put up security for your neighbor, if you have struck hands in pledge for another, if you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself. Since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands, go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. A scoundrel and villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil and deceit with his heart, he always stirs up dissension. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among his brothers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and now we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to give illumination and understanding to this word beyond that of man, that we have supernatural understanding which comes only from you, Lord. Father, I pray that as I preach this morning, I might speak your truth according to your leading. Might my words give encouragement to your people. Lord, I pray that there's not one word that comes from my mouth which is not directed by you. But Lord, if any such should escape, I pray they fall on deaf ears and would be as if they were never uttered. But Lord, I pray that each word that I speak which is of your truth, that it would touch not just the mind and the ears, but also the heart and the hands of each person here. Lord, that we would learn to live your word, not just hear it and read it. Now, Father, guide and direct as we study your word, as we seek to apply it to our lives this day. Lord, show us each one where you would have us to do that. We ask this in Jesus' precious, most holy name. Amen. We have kind of a strange interlude here in our study of Proverbs. We embarked upon the very difficult subject of adultery last week, and we'll be returning to adultery this week. But in between, we have three other sins to deal with, three other ways of living, three lifestyles which are contrary to the Lord, other than adultery. There are many others. This is not a complete list that we have put here. But we have this little interlude between these sections when They're here and we need to deal with them. We have an injunction that we are not supposed to be a lender or a borrower. We're not quite sure whether that's speaking to the person who has either had somebody else lend them or has somehow or other given somebody else something instead. Elsewhere in Scripture, we're told that if we have something to give, we're better off just to give it as opposed to lending or borrowing. Okay? If you come to me and say, can I borrow $100? The Bible tells me I am much better off to give you $100 if I have that $100 versus lending it to you. Because it puts us in this very awkward and difficult situation of me now saying, okay, well, where's my $100? Hello? Where's my money? Now, this is very contrary to what we are taught today. Anybody here ever get mail? Anybody ever have anything in the mail tell you that you have just received $10,000 worth of credit and that please go spend this money right now? I've received checks in the mail for like $10,000 or $15,000. All I have to do is go endorse it and cash it. It's a loan. It's some astronomical number. But yet I've been told, and our society that we live in today teaches us that if I can make the payment, it's okay. God is telling us, no, it's not. People, we need to stay away from borrowing and lending. It's described here, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the follower. You ever seen an animal run from the hunter? Well, their life depends upon it. And that's the point. You see, when we become ensnared in this lending and borrowing, our lives are not our own. See, they're supposed to be God's. Okay? We're supposed to give ourselves over 100% to God, but if I owe somebody, can I give myself 100% over to God? No, I have this responsibility I must meet. It's put me in a very difficult situation. It's put me in a place where I might have to put God second or third. Depends how many creditors I have, right? It depends on how many people owe me. What if somebody owes me and they don't pay? And I was expecting that money. Well, now I probably have anger in my heart towards them. I don't know about you. At least I would have anger. You probably don't have that issue. If you lend somebody money and they don't pay you back, you're probably good with that. Me, I get ticked. I could even use other words. We won't, though. But this is what we're supposed to do. Free ourselves from these things. If you've been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, sometimes somebody comes and it's so easy to say, yeah, sure, I'll loan. People, if we are in the position, we are much better off to give somebody a gift than we are to lend or borrow as individuals. Now, I'm not talking about the Deacon's Fund. This is a source that we have to help those in difficulty. And we tell anybody who comes from the Deacon's Fund, hey, this is a gift to you, but when you have opportunity, go ahead, pay it back. Because as you pay it back, it allows the gift out for somebody else. But nobody's asking for that money. Nobody's calling them up and saying, hello, you haven't paid on your Deacon's Fund. Don't keep track of that. Don't want to know. That's been a gift. It's given. We ask them to consider it a loan. Only in the fact so that they can return it so somebody else can be blessed. Now, if we owe somebody else, most of us aren't like that. if I'm late on my bills, and I have to confess I have been late on my bills on several occasions, people call me and they say, "Hello, are you so-and-so?" "Yes, I am. When are you going to pay?" The injunction here is to free ourselves as quickly as possible. Do whatever is necessary to get out from underneath that obligation, no matter which way it is. Either get the person who owes you to pay you, or just give it away to them. Or if you owe, find some way to pay that off as quickly as possible and to be freed from that. Now this, interestingly enough, is followed by the passage about being a sluggard or being lazy, not working. We have this injunction that tells us to consider the ways of the ant. I find it interesting, maybe even providential, if I might use that word, that this passage follows the one about freeing ourselves from debt. That we're supposed to be industrious. We're not supposed to be saying, "Well, you know, the que sera, sera thing, you know, whatever will be, will be." This whole idea that, "Well, just another 20 winks. I'm just going to lay in bed." You know, and Lord knows I am a guilty party. I like to sleep in. Say, "Let me just sleep in just a little bit longer." Say, "No, we need to get up and get to work." Now, that doesn't mean that when it's time to rest, it's not due you. What it means is that when it's time to work, you shouldn't be resting. That's what the passage is talking about. Don't try to steal from work. Rest. Rest when you're supposed to rest. But work when you're supposed to work. Be industrious. And that will keep poverty away. But if we don't, if we are not industrious, if we are lazy, if we don't do all that we can, and I dare say if we get trapped in this difficulty of owing, we end up with poverty that does indeed come upon us like a bandit. I mean, we don't even consider somebody poor anymore if they only owe a couple hundred thousand. There was a time in this society where people didn't owe any money. Today, you only owe $200,000. That's nothing. I mean, what's that? Your house, your car, a couple credit card bills. I mean, that's nothing. Oh, we consider you're in good financial shape. No, you're not. You're not. That's not what we're enjoined to do here. These lifestyles of being a debtor and a borrower, of being lazy and a sluggard, not working, not doing what we can to get out of debt, not doing what we can to provide. These are things which the Lord is saying you ought not to do. Because what they do is they lead to trouble. And when you get to trouble, don't say, "Well, how did I get here?" Because the Lord has told us, don't go that path. Don't go that way. Don't do that. But I don't know about you, but I have gone down those paths and I have found myself in that trouble. And when I got there, I said, "How did I get here?" Until I turned around and I looked at where I went. I said, "Oh, yeah, that was my fault, wasn't it?" So now we move on to our next two passages, which deal with the wicked and the worthless. This is almost depressing. Everybody's so quiet this morning, like, "Oh, Pastor's beating us up." No. These are injunctions from the Lord. Don't do this. Don't live this way. So watch out for this guy, the scoundrel and the villain. Now, the interesting thing that I found as I looked between with the section of verses 12 through 13 and 16 through 19 is, again, with Hebrew poetry, they like the parallelism. And we have the parallelism here of the different body parts, and each one is related to a particular sin. We have the one who goes around with a corrupt mouth, one who winks with the eye, signals with the feet, motions with the fingers, plots evil with deceit in his heart. When we come down to the things, we see that the eyes, plots, winks with the eyes, these are haughty eyes, eyes which are overly proud. God doesn't allow us to do that. The lying tongue, don't we know that that is a terrible thing that needs to be tamed? It's so easy sometimes just to tell a little lie. But doesn't a little lie grow? Hands that shed innocent blood. Murdering hands. Hands that strike out at others. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. Yeah, it's really my feet's fault for the sins that I've made. It's just referring to the different body parts and how they are each one interact. Now, when you go to Matthew, we have, the other side, we have these seven things that the Lord hates. And then here we go to the Beatitudes and we have the seven blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And blessed are those who are persecuted. And blessed are you when people insult you. So we have these blessings. And we also have in the Sermon on the Mount the idea that it is better to take out our eye. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. Well, back here in Proverbs, we're being told about the different aspects of sin related to these parts. It's not that the body part is somehow at fault. It's not. But it's us and our attitudes. And these are attitudes and ways and lifestyles that we need to steer clear of. These are not the paths that wisdom spoke about in chapters 2 and 3. And even 4 of Proverbs. We're saying to seek wisdom, enjoin wisdom, follow wisdom, to stay on the path that wisdom is given. Now we're being shown this is where the path of the fool lies. Where when we follow the adulteress, when we follow foolishness, when we follow folly, this is what we end up. We end up with these things which are detestable unto the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but the idea that I am detestable unto the Lord isn't endearing. It's not something I want. I don't want that path. I don't want that lifestyle. I pray you don't either. We see that those who go that direction, that disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. See, the Lord will bring judgment against these things. Yes, but I'm a Christian. I'm forgiven. Yes. But I dare say that there is still a penalty to be paid for those sins which we commit here on this earth. That eternal forever penalty has been paid. We are forgiven. We do get to go to heaven. But if we're busy doing these terrible things, we are not garnering riches for heaven. We are not gaining things to lay before our Lord when we come before Him on that judgment day, as we come before Him to worship in the throne room of heaven. What are we going to throw down before Him? If we're doing these things, if we're living this life, we're going to be more like the naked, soot-covered, smoke-smelling man who barely got through that we read about in 1 Corinthians. Our encouragement this morning is instead, go to Matthew. Read the Beatitudes. And be those attitudes. This section here in Proverbs, this is a warning. Flee from these things. Stay away from them. We'll be told again later to seek back after wisdom. But we've been told to follow wisdom already, to cleave unto wisdom. To get wisdom, even if it costs everything that we have. That's to lay hold of God, to lay hold of the cross with both hands and not let go. There are 6 things the Lord hates and 7 that are detestable to Him. Lord, I pray that we are not any of these. Lord, I pray that there's not one person here who goes about as a scoundrel and a villain. But instead, Lord, may we each one submit ourselves fully and completely unto You in Your leading. Lord, might we not be caught up in the teachings of the world and seek after material things at the cost of our freedom and become enslaved to debt. Lord, might we not be one who enslaves others in debt. And Lord, might we be industrious and do that work which You've put before us. Not trying to steal away slumber or rest when we're supposed to be working, but instead, Lord, doing that task when You have given it to us, and when we are supposed to do it. So Lord, we pray these things, that we might be blessed and be encouraged, and that we might be a blessing and encouragement to all those around us. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.